Hallelujah. So this morning I have the honor and the privilege, and thank you again, Pastor, for giving me that opportunity to bring a word from the Lord. It's called Vessels of Mercy Fitted for Glory. Amen. Vessels of Mercy Fitted for Glory. Our base text is Romans 9:23. We're going to be reading from Amplified and a couple other versions of the Bible today. Vessels of Mercy Fitted for Glory. So Romans 9:23 in the Amplified. And what if he thus purposes to make known and show the wealth of his glory in dealing with the vessels, objects of his mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. Prepared beforehand for glory. I know it's still looking like a lot of words. Don't worry. We're going to get there. 1 Peter 2:10 is another base text. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Say, I have obtained mercy. In my language, they say, Mori regba. I have obtained mercy. I have obtained mercy. Not justice, mercy. Because if God were to apply justice to your case, you can't win. But mercy is knowing how bad I was and yet loved me anyways. I have obtained mercy. So I am a vessel of mercy. And I have been prepared beforehand for glory. One more base text. I want to read Luke 1:37 in the Amplified Version. Luke 1:37 in the Amplified Version. I love this so much. When I got this in my spirit, it seemed totally out of context. It didn't even seem to rhyme with the whole thing. But I put it down anyways. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power. Amen. Or impossible of fulfillment. Amen. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. There is absolutely nothing that God says that does not have the power to come to pass. Now, if you believe it, it will come to pass in your life. If you don't, but that word in itself is loaded with power. So that's those three verses. Oh, scripture verses are our base text. So I want to go back to that Romans 9:23. That place where it says prepared beforehand. This is a word in the Greek that means to fit up in advance. Before you were born, God already fitted you. So I'll be talking to women this morning. Simply, I'll be using examples of women, but men, this is for all of us. You know, it didn't say here like women are prepared beforehand. So I want to encourage you to get your portion of whatever the Lord is dishing out this morning. Amen. But God says he has fitted us up in advance for glory. For glory. Some women were born into families that they had no choice but to be born into. If your mother was a drug addict, your mother was a drug addict. If your mother was in the line of prostitution, she was in the line of prostitution. But it did not mean that God didn't fit you for glory. Yes. It just means that's where you started. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Fitted in advance. That is, before you landed on planet Earth, God fitted you for glory. You may have to obtain mercy first, but you were already preordained for glory. So, regardless of where you started, how you started, you may be a Mary Magdalene who had 9 devils, demons cast out of her. You may be whatever you may have been. The bottom line is you were fitted for glory. And that word glory is this word. I'm going to actually say the Greek word. It's called doxa. Doxa. It means opinion, estimate. In the New Testament, it means a good opinion concerning somebody, resulting in praise, honor, and glory. It's equivalent to splendor, brilliance, glory attracting the gaze, magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, grace. God fitted you for excellence, for dignity, for brilliance. So today, yesterday when I was trying to pick out what I usually don't do this, but I didn't. I wanted to do this, so I was picking out my outfit and my jewelry. I put them all together. By the time I put it, I said, I'm like the sun. They will see me from afar. This is not too good. And I put it all together. I said, Now in my family and some of my very close friends, they know I'm the shiny, glittery one. I mean, I can't help it. I just am. But after putting on, I just knew, this one was one step too much. In fact, these earrings were a gift. And they came with a necklace. By the time I put the necklace, the earring, and I said, hi! Even me, I'm being blinded. But you remember, I was fitted for brilliance. Glory attracting the gaze. That is, as I'm walking there a mile away, you're just seeing this shine, 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 shine. I am fitted for splendor, for dignity and grace. But that was just to make you laugh. In the spirit, you will be noticed. In the world, you will be noticed. God, not for evil, because doxa means people's opinion or God's opinion of you. That is, people look at you, they check you out and they think, good or bad. Well, yours is brilliance, excellence. When I was reading the dictionary meaning Hebrew, Greek, you know, I just enjoyed, so I did. And that doxa in the Old Testament is equivalent to a word called kabod. It means heavy. That is weight in wealth, in abundance. He said, prepared beforehand for glory. Don't just rush past that word glory. You know, we just read these things, but we need to take a moment and try and understand. He prepared you beforehand for this kind of excellence and brilliance. This is God's plan. This is not man's plan. This is God's plan, regardless of where you are now or where you started from. This is God's plan. So I obtain mercy and I am fitted for glory. And we'll talk more about that. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. So I want you to start to think of how your Heavenly Father sees you. He never looks at you one day and he doesn't see shame. And he doesn't expect shame. He never looks at you one day and expects poverty. Not once. Now, there's a difference between how God sees us and how man sees us. But if you are somebody of faith, if you understand how God sees you, if you key in and lock into that and walk into it and say, God, this is how you see me, eventually the world will catch up. Yes. Simply because that glory will manifest not just in the spirit, in the natural where people can see it. That kabod that is originally in the spirit, that God is wealthy and he has already fitted you for wealth, eventually it will start to manifest. So the glory they didn't see, eventually they will see. And they will have no choice but to acknowledge. Amen? For we are God's own handiwork. his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Remember I said it doesn't matter where you started from? The key though is to get into Christ Jesus. Because if you were born to a prostitute or a gangbanger or whatever and you live that way, it doesn't matter the minute you step into Christ. But it is born anew. You can't get that glory though if you never got into Christ. Yes, he has a prepared, but you get it because you got into him. So born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. Look at these things. I want you to think about it. You are not a mistake. Amen. You are not a mistake. Amen. And I want to tell you that there's nothing haphazard about your life. Every single thing about your life left to God is already planned out. And is glorious. God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Taking paths, but watch that now. You have to take the path which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living, watch now, the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Good life. Did you see pain there? Did you see sorrow there? Good life. Describe to me what good life looks like. You know, to each person, depending on what country you are in, your good life may be that you have a beautiful hut, you have a nice mat, and you have enough yam and food to see you through the seasons. You see, to you, you are laughing, but to them, that's the good life. It all depends on where you are in the world. The definition of good life is based on what you call good life. Yes. Yes. But regardless, he has planned good life. Yes. Living the good life, yes, which he did what? He prearranged. Ahead of time. He made ready. He prearranged and made ready. The real Greek is the way the Amplified brought it there. He prearranged it and made it ready. So it's not just that he prearranged it. He's sitting there waiting for you. So if you walk this path, and that's not where it is, it is made ready. It just happens to be in this location. Prearranged, made ready. It's not that he's going to just go into his storeroom and make it. It's already prearranged, made ready. So guess what? Your healing is ready. Hallelujah. Your deliverance is ready. Like ready right now. Not that God is going to go into his factory and make it. No, it is ready. Prearranged, made ready. Right now. Right now. Right now. If you believe it, you have it right now. Faith is now. Prearranged, made ready. It's sitting down there. It's there. Is there? Yes. So you get up in the morning and say, Father, I reach into the storehouse of heaven for every prearranged blessing. The one with my name on it. Guess what? The person who has your name, who, if that's your name, this person, Kala cannot get Ola's own. That's why you are never, the Bible says, he that believeth shall not make haste. Amen. You are not in a hurry because nobody can get the one that has your name on it. Prearranged, made ready, the good life. Do you believe? Reach out for it. I receive it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Every blessing with my name on it, made ready for me. It is mine. I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Prearranged, made ready. It is mine. Hallelujah. 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 prearranged and made ready for me. Put your right hand on your chest like this. Prearranged, made ready for me. Put your name there. For me. Hallelujah. That's why you are not in a hurry. Nobody can get your stuff. Hallelujah. God all by himself. Full of wisdom. So in the storehouse of heaven. Different rooms. Ola, Stella, Tinu. Just nobody can walk into your room and collect your own. It's not just prearranged, it's made ready. Like right now, it's there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I want to talk about the facts and reality of our case. If you go again, we just read Ephesians 2:10. So let's move forward to 11 in Amplified. Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles, heathen, in the flesh. Go to verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated. So when you were not in Christ, he did tell us we have to get in Christ. So that one, there is no mistake. There's no confusion. If you are not born again, we'll help you get born again. It's very simple. That's all. Father, I receive what you have done for me through Christ. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Become the Lord of my life. I yield my life to you. That's it. That is it. Forgive me every sin. You don't even need to list the sins. You just say, forgive me. That's all. It doesn't even take 3-minute prayer. But once you step in, though, then you start to live the good life. If you know how to, you have to know how to. You have to be taught. I had to be taught. We are still learning. Remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in him, utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation. You were a stranger with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise, with no knowledge of or right in God's agreements and covenant. Before you were in Christ, you had no share in it. There are some things called God agreements and God covenants. Not everybody can claim it. God's agreements, God's covenants. God made everybody, but not everybody can partake. And it's very clear here. You had no right, it said. You had no right. Verse 12. You were separated from the right. You had no knowledge, no right in God. But go on and read verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away, through, by, in the blood of Christ have been brought near. Before we had no right. Verse 19. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders. Amen. You are not an exile. You are not a migrant. You are not an alien. You are not excluded from the rights of citizens. But you now share citizenship with the saints of God. God's own people, consecrated and set apart for himself. And you belong to God's own household. It is very important that you understand what that means. I belong to God. There is a mark upon you in the spirit that makes you different. That's why my case is different. My situation is different. So there may be pain, sorrow, everything around, but my case, because I belong to the household of God. Not everybody belongs to the household of God. But my case is different. I'm a child of God. Example of a God agreement. Look at this. Deuteronomy 6:10 in the Amplified. Deuteronomy 6:10. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers to give you, with great and goodly cities which you did not build. I want you to start to think like God thinks, because there needs to be an elevation. He already told us his thoughts are not our thoughts. But we can kind of elevate there. He said, I will give you great and goodly cities which you did not build. Remember the prearranged and made ready?
Yes.
Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Cisterns hewn out which you did not hew. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. You will eat and you will be full. So if this is something about the path of God, as you are walking, you hit it. House? And the house just looks like it's just fitted for you. The room where you want it to be. The bathrooms where you... It's like you sat down with God, you drew... God, you say, God, you are too much. You keep walking. You keep walking. Businesses. You know, in the old time, vineyards represented businesses. You just hit it. With very little effort, the thing is handed over to you. It's like, why? I don't deserve it. Shh, don't say you don't deserve it. Shh. You deserve it. Why? Because you belong in the household. It was prearranged and it is made ready. But you have to walk the paths. Because if you are going in the way to Chicago and is in, say, like in North Carolina, you know you won't get it. So we have to totally understand. But it's there. That's the way God thinks. Not that you will labor and sweat, do 3 jobs, 4 jobs, 5 jobs. Then finally you buy the big screen TV. Tithe. Offering. 4 jobs. Then finally we enter into your house. We see this massive TV. The thing is, it's like, ooh, bro, ooh. But 4 jobs. The other one just comes, is going. Prearrange. Prearrange, made ready. But you have to walk in the paths. God agreements. God covenants. So don't compare yourself to objects. In that Romans 9, we don't have time to read it all, but they're objects of wrath and they're objects of mercy. You fall in the objects of mercy category. Don't be comparing yourself to objects of wrath. Objects of wrath are the ones that we toil before they finish, and they have arthritis here. They toil before we know what we're running after different things. At the end of the day, we see both of you. You are not sweating. That one sweat. You have to remove the shirt, bring another shirt because the sweat is too much. It's like, no, don't compare yourself to objects of wrath. They have no covenant. Yes, we used to be there. We were strangers to those God's agreements and God's covenant. Yes. But now you are not there. So you can't walk like they walk.
Yes.
You can't do it that way. Why? And then in heaven, God is just looking at you and say, didn't anybody tell her that they've already... You don't have to walk that hard. He's already there.
Yes.
Just keep walking. He's at location B. But here you are. You can't see that far. So you sweat. You toil. Church Sunday. Why? Because you really want it. But if you kept walking, just keep walking. Keep walking.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
Made ready. Yes. Prepared. Before you were born, it was already put there. So why are you sweating? Why are you not serving God? Every waking moment you are walking. Take a deep breath. Let's reconnect to the covenant Amen? Amen. So I want you to say, my case is different.
My case is different.
I am different.
I am different.
I am set for glory.
I am set for glory.
I am made for His pleasure.
I am made for His pleasure.
His pleasure. Do you know that when you hit all the things He has prearranged, He just smiles. He says, Gabriel, or whatever the name of the angel, good job, good job. Because He told them to put them in the different places along your path. Then He told them, protect her. Let no evil come near her. She must hit each one of them as she goes. You will not die before you get your stuff. In the name of Jesus. You will remain alive. You will get them all. That's what the angels are there for. That's their job. To keep you alive until you hit each one of them. Why are you going to die before your time? There's no need for it. I was created for His pleasure. He smiles as I hit each milestone. I'm an object of mercy. Fitted for glory. Let's pull back. They say this thing, I walk many times. They say, let's have the 30,000 feet view. Let's do the 30,000 feet view. Let's look at the good land. Jeremiah 29:11. We all know it. But we are going to break Jeremiah 29:11 down. Your father in heaven. You know you belong to His household now.
Yes.
You are not a bastard. You have a father.
Yes.
And He's not an absentee father.
Yes.
He's there.
Yes.
Watching over you. He says before you call on Him, He hears you.
Yes.
What do you need, my daughter? What do you want? You don't need to scream, shout. Mm-mm. He's got you. So let's look at His plan. What are His thoughts towards you? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know. This is God speaking now. He says, for I know. He's not debating, trying to think about it. For I know. This is with total confidence, certainty. God is saying, for I know the thoughts that I think to what. You can't tell Him He's not thinking the thoughts. He's telling you, these are my thoughts.
Yes.
And you are saying, God, no, you really can't mean that. What? Are you in His mind to know what He's thinking? He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm going to read a few versions here. We may not have it. Easy to read version says, I have good plans for you. This is what He said. I have good plans for you. He says, I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. This is the 30,000 feet view. This is just the foundation. Anything you encounter, if it is not good, it is not God. Not good, not God. Not good. You have to understand this because you will not resist bad things if you think He's teaching you something with something bad. Maybe God wants me to have this cancer so that He will draw me closer to Himself, then He will heal me, or He'll just take me to heaven so I can go and worship Him there with cancer. If He wants to take you to heaven, He can ask the angel to come get you. You don't have to have cancer. He knows your address.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be cancer.
No.
But the minute you don't have that absolute foundation, not good is not God. Don't even try and use this philosophy that they don't justify it. He says, I don't plan to hurt you. I have good plans for you. The ESV version says, plans for your welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amplify says, plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. There are plans for good, New Living Translation, there are plans for good and not for disaster. all these hurricanes, and so why do we always feel that maybe God is sent? They call it the act of God or the hand of, what do they call it? Act of God. Since when did God want to show his beauty to the world and he will be sending hurricane and tornado? That's not God. It's not good. It's not God. They are not, the NASB says, not for calamity. So anytime you see, so this is a 30,000 feet view, foundation laying. It's, if it's good, it's God. If it's not good, it's not God. And it's not for me. It's not the one that was made ready and prepared. Okay? We have to look at it, your health, your mind, everything. If it's not good, it's not God. Did we get that?
Yes.
Okay. He says, so if I read it back again, it says thoughts of peace. Now that peace, we all know what peace is in the Hebrew. Everybody shout it to me. Shalom. But I want to read what shalom means. It means completeness. It's not just peace. You know, when you say peace, everybody is just happy. Okay, peace, peace. No, we need to understand what that means. It means completeness. Soundness. It means soundness in your body. Soundness in your mind. You are just complete. Every part of you is complete. It means quiet. Tranquility. This is what he says he's thinking about you. I'm thinking about you in a good way. And I want you to be an all-rounded, prospered person. Amen. So he has prepared that good land. And when you know that in your heart, let's go to Hebrews 11. Because we reach all these things by faith. Amen. It's by faith. This is how Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called out, I'm reading from the King James now because I really like this in the King James. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That which he has built. There are many things out there that look like God, but they are not God. The one he is looking for is the one which has foundations and the architect. And the builder, the maker, is God. So as you are walking on your path, there is shiny, shiny, shiny house on the left. There is not too shiny on the right. There is one that just looks good. You don't care. You don't judge by what you see. You are looking for the one whose architect, whose builder, whose maker is what? So he got up from his land and started walking. Let's go. God, did you say he's there? Let's go. But he's not looking for just a house. That's why he and his grandson and his son, they lived in tents. Not because there were no houses there. But he hadn't found the one which God was the architect. The one who put the foundations. But he knew he had prepared him a city. But he so got up and started walking. Yes. Do you believe he has made something ready for you?
Yes.
So you will get up and start walking.
Amen.
You know the people who never get up and start walking? They're in Hebrews 11, 13, 15. These are the people who never really get up and start walking. In the Amplified, verse 15, Hebrews 11. If they had been thinking with homesick remembrance of that country, from which they were emigrants, they would have found constant opportunity to return to it. You keep seeing your friends in the world. You see how they do, and it just looks like they're kind of hitting the jackpot every time. So you keep asking yourself, maybe we try that one, because this one is taking so long. We're walking by faith, paying tithe. These people, not a single penny in tithe. They work 6 days a week. Sunday they sit at home, they watch football and other sports. Look at them. Maserati, Lotus Bugatti. Here you are with your pickup, your Ford pickup.
Your truck.
It will change though.
Amen.
This is what is about to become a Mercedes. When the pickup grows up, it will become a Mercedes. When the Mercedes grows up, it will become a Maserati. Before you know it, you won't recognize me. I'm just coming, stepping out in style. Because it was made ready. Jack. Oh, the Jack too. But the people who don't step out in faith, they keep looking at the country, the world from which they came. But verse 16 says, this Abraham, he was yearning, for he knew God had prepared for him a city. Prearranged, made ready. But you know, the thing about God's stuff is you don't see them when you start. But it doesn't mean you are not fitted for glory. It doesn't look like it. But it's already there. So that's why he sent me today to tell you it's there. It's there. And it's not just material things. Every part of you. Because that piece is complete. Complete. So you will not be, I want to mention a couple of women now. You will not be Lot's wife. Jesus himself remembered Lot's wife. So if we go to Luke 17:32, Jesus, if you have a red letter Bible, you will see that. It says, remember Lot's wife. Of all the women, Jesus picked Lot's wife. We don't even know her name. Why? Remember Lot's wife. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Lot's wife was married to this nephew of Abraham. They were so wealthy. In fact, they were so wealthy that the land could not sustain them. So Lot chose this wealthy city and he moved there. They had children. Their children had husbands. But they lived in a city that was so full of wickedness and every form of sin you can think of. The angels who walk to and fro, you know we have angels who walk to and fro? Read your Bible. There are angels that just walk around the earth checking about stuff. They brought news back to God in their, they have these meetings in heaven. And they said there is one city called Sodom. There are twin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. It is so bad that city, is so bad. God heard. He sent angels again to go check. He saw that they were really bad. He just had to clear them off the earth. He didn't want what they were doing to spread to the rest of the earth. So he wanted to wipe them out, but there was a problem. Lot and his family lived in that city. So, Abraham, you know Abraham? He can't say much. But the few that he says, he said God. He kept talking. God, God, if there are even 10 people, what if there are 5 people, will you destroy? God said, okay, I won't destroy it. What he did not know was that it was Lot, his children, they... Yes, Pastor, they were not. But somehow the father was still able to kind of pull those ones. Because the children, the two girls were married. They were non-believing men. There were no five righteous people. But God did not advise Abraham and said, you know what? There are not five righteous people. God said, okay, if there are five people, God already knew there were not five people. God didn't say, well, let me just tell you, if you want to keep interceding, there are really not five righteous people in that place. God said, yeah, if there are five, I won't destroy it. But he knew that those two cities were meant for destruction. So the angels got there, found that the place was as decadent as it was said to be. And they knew, but Abraham was interceding, so they knew they couldn't destroy it. If you read that whole story, they could do nothing because Abraham stood before God. So eventually, the angels knew God was about to pour fire and brimstone. So they grabbed Lot's hand, his children, his wife, and pushed them forcibly out of that city and started running because the hailstones and fire were about to come. And they kept telling, don't look back, just run, just run, just run. But Lot's wife, guy, the bling bling, the ring, the party she prepared yesterday, the one that they were about to have, all the things she had planned. Guy, is that just how we're going to live it? Aye! She turned back. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. She became a pillar of stone right there. Because she could not cut herself loose from the ways of the world. Remember Lot's wife. That is not your portion in the name of Jesus. You will walk the paths. Remember Lot's wife. There are many people. God wants to active. In fact, he's forcibly delivering them. They grabbed her hand and pulled her. Let's go. Come away from destruction. She couldn't leave it. Even though she probably was not deserving of that deliverance, but because of intercession from afar. Come, let's go. But she couldn't let it go. She would not accept deliverance. That's not your portion. Amen. That's not your portion. Amen. There's one translation of that complete. When, you know, when it says peace, there is a translation I wanted to bring up, and I hope I put it here. It's the Hebrew dictionary. It means, that complete means, whatever is not there will be added, and whatever needs to be taken out will be taken out so that you are complete and whole. Amen. That's the ancient Hebrew Bible. When it talks about peace, it's not just complete. It's complete with the plan to remove whatever is making it not complete, or to add whatever needs to be added to make it complete. In the case of Lot's wife, she needed to be removed from that place so that she could be whole and they can have a new future. But she couldn't take it. So that's not our portion. We will take the completeness. We will take that completeness. So you have to be fully persuaded. And I know this morning as we're hearing this word, we're fully persuaded that there's something prepared. Can you see it? Embrace it. That's the way of faith. You embrace it in the spirit. The last thing I want to mention, this is so important. When the Bible says, I want to make you complete, I have a future of completeness for you. I want us to look at 3 John 1. There's only one chapter in 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The New King James verse says, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Does that look like complete? Shalom. That is, you prosper in all things. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. That is to say, if your soul is not prospering, you may not prosper in all things, even though you're a child of God. So what is the soul? The soul is not your spirit. We need to understand that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. In fact, I read this in the Complete Jewish Bible. May the God of Shalom make you completely holy. May your entire spirit, soul, and body, three parts of you. You are actually a spirit. You have a soul. You live in this body. The God of Shalom, the God who makes you complete, may he make you entire in your spirit, soul, body. But your soul, your spirit may be prospering. Your soul may not be prospering. Because there are two different aspects of you. Your soul is where your emotions are. And bear with me, we're almost done. This is where your emotions are, not your spirit. This is where your intellect is. Your imagination, your will, your mind. You know, women, that this soul realm is very important. People think sometimes we yield to hysteria. People think sometimes we're very emotional. They think men are very logical. I've met emotional men. But let's just agree that today women are the emotional ones. But men, don't hide, because you know yourself. But the soul, this is the part of you that has your emotions, where you think, where you design, where you decide, I'm going to do, I'm not going to. If that part of you does not prosper, you won't prosper. There's this big thing about mental health now. Everywhere you go. I went into a school. It was in the school here, Mayfield. I was going, I think, to the gym, and I saw on the door, are you feeling somehow? This is a phone number call. They're saying it to the children. They're saying it to the teenagers. They're saying it to adults. It's something about mental health. This thing that causes depression and suicide, where is it? It's in the soul realm. Yes. It's in the soul realm. And I want to just talk very quickly about that for women. It's in the soul realm. It's where your emotions are. And it's usually a result at first of anxiety. Little things bother you. And when we hear those things, they make sense. They're logical that you should be worried about them. But Jesus said, don't worry. Amen. He said, don't be anxious. Amen. He said it for a reason. Because that part of you, if it doesn't prosper, you can't prosper. Even though all these things have been made ready. Anxiety, when you say, the good word, I'm concerned. I'm not really worried, I'm just concerned. Is there any other word for concern? What do you think? I'm just a little troubled. That's where it starts. If you don't do what Jesus said and take a hold of it immediately, these things that you see people putting a gun to their head, it didn't just come out of nowhere. It is gradual. Yes. So in Isaiah 61 verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's what Jesus said. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. Those who, their hearts, their soul, their emotions have been crushed. Broken. That part, that Hebrew word heart, it says brokenhearted. There are two words. The Hebrew word heart means your thinking, your memory, your mind, your knowledge, your determination, your emotions, your passions. If anything has crushed it, broken heart, they didn't do you right. The husband left you at the altar. Different things. Here you are now, woman. You are here. And you are carrying it about. And you know what? You got to be free from it. Because anxiety and fear are twin brothers. Actually, fear is a spirit. I want you to receive that deliverance from the Lord today. Remember Lot's wife. When deliverance is given to you, accept it. Don't argue. Don't say you don't know what they did to me. You just don't understand my situation. No. Whatever. Broken hearted, crushed emotions, crushed spirit, bad words spoken to you, abuse, whatever. Accept your deliverance. We don't need to know the story. Just accept. Because until your soul is whole, you won't prosper. And we have to prosper. Yes. Everything that is on that path, we have to get it.
Yes.
But when within you there's stuff going on, you can't get it. Even though you're a child of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's a spirit. You will be like Mary when she asked the angel, "How I've never known a man, I'm a virgin. How is this thing going to happen?" So the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." That's all you need to do. I believe. Remember, no word of God will be without the power of fulfillment. That word of deliverance being offered you today already has the power within it to deliver you from anxiety, from sorrow of heart, from pain and crying in the night. Today is your day. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. This is the day the Lord has made. You will receive your deliverance. Raise your hand. Say, "Be it unto me according to your word. I resist the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety." This is not just for women, this is for men and women. I don't care what it is. It may make sense for you to worry. It may make sense for you to be brokenhearted. But the anointing that Jesus came with was to heal, restore the brokenhearted. You have no reason to hold on to pain. You have no reason to hold on to destruction. You have no reason to hold on to past hurts, memories that are still plaguing you today. Things that were done to you when you were 12 years old. Today is the day you will receive your deliverance. Remember Lot's wife. You are not Lot's wife. Deliverance is here. You are going to resist. He came to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. Receive that healing. The Bible says, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead. Jeremiah 8:18 says, "Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her?" Verse 21 says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt." Verse 22, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe. We believe that there is a balm in Gilead. Jesus came. We believe. We accept deliverance. We remember Lot's wife. We are not Lot's wife. We accept deliverance. Lord, let your word go forth. Let it start to destroy every yoke of pain of sorrow. Things, roots in the past that have held your people bound. Pain, pain, pain. For decades, pain. That has shut down prosperity. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke those strongholds talked in the heart of your women today. Loose your hold, let them go. In the name of Jesus. Father, we receive the word of deliverance. That says you've prepared a city. Peace, wholeness, completeness. So we reject the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. We resist it. The spirit of anxiety. That crippling fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the future. Fear for our children. Fear for our marriages. Fear for our husbands. Fear for our businesses, our livelihood, our future. We resist every form of fear. They are not from you. We reject in the name of Jesus. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are healed. Healed in the mind. Healed in our emotions. Healed. Completely made whole. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, continue to pray. Speak to the Lord. Talk to Him this morning. Hallelujah.